It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott is here. Mary Jo's still in Vietnam. We've got some great pictures from her. Dr. Pizza will be filling in. Peter Bright from Ars Technica. And in the middle of the show, the brand new Windows 10 preview pushes. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for TWiT's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make TWiT even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 405, recorded Wednesday, March 18th, 2015. Is it me you're looking for? Windows Weekly is brought to you by RingCentral, the business phone system that's in the cloud. RingCentral now integrates with Google for Work. Try RingCentral with a 30-day risk-free trial at ringcentral.com or call 800-543-9980 and use the promo code TWIT. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 50-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. That's ZipRecruiter.com/windows. And by HipChat. Collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of the full version of HipChat at HipChat.com/Windows Weekly. It's time for Windows Weekly, and Paul Thurrott is here. Mary Jo is here in spirit. She's still traveling the world. So we have brought in a ringer. Isn't that a parasitic infection? I believe it is.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's attached to our lower intestines.
We have brought in a ringer, Mr. Peter Bright, ladies and gentlemen. You see him at Ars Technica. You're still at Ars Technica, right?
I still am at Ars Technica.
Yeah, yeah. I actually love your stuff at Ars. And he's also Dr. Pizza on the Twitter. And did you go to WinHack China this week?
I would be there right now if I was.
But no, you're not.
No, seems like a big event.
Seems like, well, there's some revelations.
Yeah. But
before we get to those, did you guys get your Cortana lunchbox?
No? I've actually had one of those for a while.
Oh.
What?
There was a phone in it. What's inside?
There was a lovely $49 phone in there.
There you go.
Yeah. My goodness.
And it came with pie on Pi Day, which is, I think, pretty cool.
Nice. I got to have words with someone.
Well, they don't do it in Britain. That's a different. That's a different branch.
I'm in Houston, Texas, Leah.
That's you have to call Q Branch. You're in Houston. Well, that's very confusing. Yeah. I don't think that should be allowed. Here is the. You have a British accent. Can you change your accent? And then it says, "Hello, I'm Cortana."
What's the phone though? Did you get like 435
yeah,
or something?
It's the, I don't know. It's really bright yellow. It's the it's the $50 one. Whatever that is.
$6.35.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But you know what's nice about this? Unlike my 1520, I could put Windows 10 on it.
That's right.
So I think
and you put it in your pocket because it's not like in a plate.
I have big phones. I cannot lie. So I don't mind. This actually though is pretty cute. It's 8 gigs of storage. It's 1 gig of RAM. I mean, it's got a FM radio kind of. It's the dual SIM model. Mm-hmm. But boy, amazing for $49.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no contract.
Well, if you're spending your own money and not like getting some big subsidy off the carrier, like you can get these really nice phones for like $150. And they do everything that a smartphone is meant to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Compared to like a few years ago when you'd have to pay $700-800 for worse. Well,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the premium end because to justify $800 phone, you're going to have to do something pretty special. The Motorola E, the second generation, is 150, is really great. Is it, this is, I mean, 8 gigs
what's the Apple
storage.
One that's $150 no contract? I can't remember the name.
Yeah, it's called the iPhone 4, I believe.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Wait, you know,
the antenna doesn't work. We can admit that now.
The $700 phone is better, but it's not like four times better or three times better. That's, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, if people are going to spend $17,000 on a wristwatch, $1,000 on a phone just doesn't seem much.
Well,
are you going to?
No. But I do buy the, but I mean, my iPhone 6 Plus was loaded. That was almost a $950 phone. Because I don't want the carrier. I can't, if I get another 2 years for every phone I bought, I would now have Verizon several centuries of time.
It'd be like paying back a college loan.
Yeah.
You know?
So I really pretty much have to buy them unlocked now. But that's okay.
It's something I intend to write about. I've been meaning to look this up because if I have three lines on AT&T and every one of them is listed as you're clear for an upgrade. You know, but at AT&T, that means different things, you know, because they'll give you one of those next upgrades anytime you want.
Right. If you pay, but you pay for it.
Yeah. I got to look. One of my goals this year is to remove myself from the kind of teat of, you know, subsidized phones on AT&T. I really, really got to get on this program.
I think that the whole subsidy thing's changed. Don't you now? Maybe I'm wrong. But haven't the carriers effectively moved you to merely amortizing the real price across the 2 years? They end up.
It's an option. I mean, you could still go full blown subsidy if you wanted to.
But notice really everybody's doing the next thing, and they're really kind of. You can easily fall into that without knowing it. And you can suddenly be doing that.
Very easily.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean. In other words, when I look at the AT&T app on my phone, it says, "Hey, you qualify for an upgrade." No, I don't. No, I don't.
You know that phone you bought 3 months ago? Hey, you can get a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
For a
really
price.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I paid off my iPhone 6 Plus recently as part of this initiative, and. That is not an inexpensive device, by the way. I've bought most of the laptops I bought cost less than an iPhone 6 Plus.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
Yeah.
You know, and now you get into that weird thing where like you've got this really expensive thing that's like as slippery as a bar of soap and you're afraid to take it anywhere because now you have paid for it, you know. And I'm scared to death I'm going to like Chevy Chase it on the stairs or something.
You're going to what?
Chevy Chase it? Oh, I know. That's like right. You live in Houston. You don't know American references.
Yeah,
it's when it's on Saturday Night Live in 1975. Paul's really kind of dating himself here. Chevy Chase would play. Yeah. You may remember a president of the United States from your history classes named Gerald Ford. And at the beginning of every Saturday Night Live, back in the mid-70s, Paul, I don't know if you really remember
back
this.
Back in the actual, I do remember this. Actually.
He would Chevy Chase.
Here's what I remember about it.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford was our most athletic president ever.
But he
stumbled a lot. And he was lampooned repeatedly as if he were some stumbling buffoon, you know.
Right, right. But he did fall a few times.
He did slip down the stairs.
He never was attacked by a rabbit, to his credit.
No, just by a weird blonde woman.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, I'm listening to a book about the Beatles.
Yep.
It's really good. Tune In. It's an Audible book. Tune In. It's called, it's the first of three, all these years, a definitive biography of the Beatles. And the narrator, who is a Brit, repeatedly calls Houston.
Oh, that's tough.
Now, Peter, did you know that it was Houston when you moved there?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. At least he doesn't call it Houston.
By the way, I don't remember the book.
There is a house.
Well, there's Houston Street or whatever in
New York.
New York.
Soho is south of Houston.
Yeah.
One of the recent technology books keeps referring to iOS as iOS.
Oh.
In the Audible version.
Yeah, when they read it.
Infuriating.
Don't they have
OS X.
Oh, I hate that too. Don't they have producers who are supposed to
Everyone
look
knows
it
it's OSIX. I don't understand.
OSIX. Is OSIX compliant?
Where did these things come from?
So Mary Jo is not with us, but she's not. I mistakenly played Candle in the Wind at the beginning of the show for her. She is apparently still with us.
Triggering an outpouring of grief on Twitter.
I'm so sorry, Mary Jo.
I
hope she'll take that in the spirit in which it was intended. She is in Halong Bay. AKA Paradise, another sway from Mary Jo Foley. Oh, this looks beautiful.
I know.
Wow, look at that. She's really become a sway master.
I know.
Look at this stuff. There she is on her boat. She now has a boat. Boat. Cruising around the bay. Am I doing it right? I'm doing it with the arrow keys. Is that the way?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
The side trip. So what is the little thing, the little white bar that gets bigger there? Maybe that's just it's loading. It's a loading bar.
I think that's just a little graphical element.
Graphic. Spelunking in caves. There's people who live here. This is Vietnam, right? Look at this. I want to go now. Yeah. Oh, my golly. Look at the food. Oh. How long was she on this journey? It looks a little
bit the whole
like,
trip is, yep. you know, 2.5 weeks right. or whatever.
Looks like a little bit of Heart of Darkness going on here.
I know.
Wonder if she water skied behind the boat.
I'd be playing like Pride of the Valkyries over the loudspeaker.
I love the smell of Halong Bay in the morning. Wow, good for you, Mary Jo. So she's getting on a plane this time next week, and we'll be back. Not next. What is
no, she'll be back next week.
She's getting on a plane now.
She'll be home tomorrow. She'll be home tomorrow. Wow. She could be on the plane right now.
Yeah.
Based on how long it takes to fly. I don't know. Well, she'll be home tomorrow.
We got to thank her for these because travel pictures are pretty amazing. And it really is a neat opportunity to see a little bit of her trip.
I was showing these to my wife, and my wife, you know, who's not technical and doesn't care about technology, said, you know, I like this thing so much more than what people do on Facebook, which is just dump of photos. Right. With no context whatsoever. Whereas this kind of thing is like a little story and it explains, you know, she can explain what each thing is. And
it's really cool. Nice. And it's not a, like doing it. It would be to do a PowerPoint presentation for your friends. You could do many of the same thing, but it would be kind of weird. This is more.
I think your friends would kill you if you did a PowerPoint
presentation.
Especially if you put them in those like slide carousel form.
Well, we used to do that. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, Kodak carousel projectors and when you came back from a trip you'd have hundreds of slides, you put them in a carousel, you'd turn out the lights, you put
everyone
you'd bore people
and torture them with it.
Yeah, this way they can be tortured in the privacy of their own home.
Exactly. So much more convenient.
Well, and you can whiz through them, you don't have to.
Right.
This is great. So this is free. Do you have to have an Office 365 subscription?
No, it's free.
And it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you, Mary Jo, for sharing those with us. So, we buried the lead here. It was all over the tech news this morning, and I want to get your take on it. Speaking at WinHack in, I believe, China, right?
Yep.
A Microsoft representative said that Windows 10 will be available this summer?
Right. Which caused me to Google this summer to find out what the exact date range was.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's June, what did I write it down here? So June 21 to September 23, so there's your window.
Could be September, huh?
I would lean toward the end of the schedule.
Yeah.
The solstice to the equinox, that's how long they have.
There you go. That's why we bring in people from Houston on this show.
I was going to say, I like how that clarifies the dates in your mind.
Oh, the solstice to the equinox. Like, now, right, that's, you know, I wish Microsoft did announce that.
Sometime
between summer solstice and autumnal equinox, we will release Windows 10. If they came up on stage and said that.
When the cock, you know, clucks
crows at midnight.
Before the morning. Windows 10 will be done.
So this is Terry Myerson, who I guess we would know, right? Isn't he in charge of the whole thing?
I think we could.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was speaking at WinHack in Shenzhen, China, announced that Windows 10, this is the exact quote, will be available this summer in 190 countries and 111 languages. He does preface the sentence saying, we continue to make great development progress. Do you think that's implying... that there may be it's faster than they thought, or no?
Wow, Leo, that's a surprisingly loaded question. The problem with Windows 10 to date has been that, you know, we haven't seen too many builds externally, right? And last week they pledged to fix that and deliver builds more quickly. And so I guess what I would say is if they've made great progress, we just haven't seen it yet externally. So, we've seen a leak build, a couple of leak builds here and there. And so we'll see. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff going on with Windows 10, right? It's Windows 10 for desktops, for tablets, for small tablets and phones. There's IoT and embedded devices and Xbox 10 and Xbox One. you know, there's a lot of parts to it.
And that doesn't – so it doesn't mean it would be out for every platform. I mean,
this is different. This is not the same Windows as we've had before. They've mm-hmm. already said that, like, there'll be, like, feature updates after the release.
Yep. So, yeah, and that gives them some wiggle room.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, finished isn't quite as final as it was in the olden days.
It'll work.
Right.
It will work.
Will you want to upgrade to it?
Well, actually, so that was an interesting thing. I can't find the article right now, but, you know, one of the things I went through in one of the slide decks from WinHack, and there were about 1,197 of them, so it took a while to get through them. Microsoft differentiates between upgrading and updating, right?
Yeah.
And in the Windows 10 world, what you do is you upgrade from a previous version of Windows to Windows 10.
Okay.
But once you have Windows 10, what you're doing is updating, which is what Peter was just replying or talking about, which is, you know, you add features, you add, you know, bug fixes, obviously, and things like that. But they're almost implying that there won't be any more upgrading after this. We're just going to keep updating now. You know, that the kind of servicing model changes with Windows 10.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so we'll see how true that is.
Right.
Yeah, it depends how loudly, like, enterprises kick and scream.
Right, right.
Normally quite loudly, I think, is the...
And wireless carriers, too, for whatever that's worth. There's a lot of screaming to be had, yeah.
Well, and then the other thing that was interesting, of course, they still have that, you know, free upgrade for Windows 7 and up users for a year. I read not the direct quote, but the interpretation that perhaps it would be available to pirated versions.
Oh, there is a direct quote. Terry Morrison said, "We are upgrading all qualified PCs, including genuine and non-genuine, to Windows 10.
So by qualified, he merely means hardware capable.
With Windows 7 and up.
Right.
Well, right.
If it's pirated, you could just, let me borrow Windows 7 from you, and then I'll upgrade, and then, so, I mean.
No, if it's pirated, and if you have a pirated OS, and it's Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1, you get Windows 10 for free.
Yeah, or if you've pirated Windows XP, you might as well pirate Windows 7.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Right. That really means for anybody.
Those guys really aren't supported, Leo. It doesn't matter if it's,
pirated or not. Windows 7 and up implies that we're going to check to make sure you have a genuine copy of Windows 7 before we allow you to have a free upgrade.
I see.
They're not, obviously. No. So that means anybody who can run it, and that's the real criterion.
The difference is just if you're on XP, you'll have to more or less blow away your machine to put your pirate Windows 7 on.
Right.
Whereas if you have Windows 7, it'll be a nice in-place upgrade.
Okay. So the pirates do pay.
So your pirated,
we knew we'd get him in the end.
Your pirated office will still be there.
Not much of a punishment.
The pirates will be paying. You will be wiping out your drive and installing Windows 7. You pirate. Man, that's a punishment.
I think that honestly, I think this notion of giving pirates Windows 10 is awesome. I mean,
I think it's telling these.
Get them on board.
He did it in China.
Yeah,
where it's massively pirated, right? Yeah. I don't believe it's ever
not pirated in China.
Right.
Yeah.
But the statement applies to anybody. I think that's. Right.
But my assumption is that the OEMs are getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Because OEMs are still going to be paying Microsoft something. Like, it may not be as much as it used to be. So it's really only the upgrade copies, which were never.
Existing machines and so
on. That they're getting rid of. If you buy a new PC with a Windows 10 on it, the OEM is still paid.
And that's why it's not as big a deal, a hit to the financial bottom line as one might think. Yet, by expanding it to pirated copies, I think it might become a bigger part
I don't see it as a money thing. I see it as more of a legitimate desire to get everyone updated to the latest code, to the latest servicing model, the latest services. Yeah. You know, it's really about moving everyone forward, because you have this kind of fragmentation thing that occurs in Windows where different OS versions. It's not a problem for application compatibility. What's the problem?
I don't know, because like even like application developers for the longest time, making sure their apps would still run on Windows XP, which meant that they had to opt out of all the new features that, you know, Vista and 7 and 8 added new features, and developers didn't use them because they wanted to run on XP. And that should start going away.
Yeah. And then this should also help drive the development of universal apps, because now we have this broader audience of people that are actually running that system. So, yeah, it's I think it's like a net win, you know, overall. It doesn't have to be a direct revenue thing.
Yeah, it's it's good. I'm not complaining. It's kind of like when the music industry allowed Apple to do a iTunes Match, which basically sucked up all the pirated music from all time and legitimized it. It was kind of a one-time $25 hit. And now all the Napster stuff I downloaded is legitimate.
Right.
Did I say that?
I mean, I'm agreeing that your Napster stuff is legitimate.
Right.
I don't.
Somebody's, not ours. Nothing. Not mine.
I know you probably purchased that in the process of reporting
I've
on the
service. I've bought every one of those songs about a dozen times. The music industry, believe me, got their fair share.
I should be allowed free into every Star Wars movie that's ever made from here on out.
Absolutely.
Based on the number of times I bought the original trilogy in various formats.
They are. You know, they are talking about. They do this, or about to do this, with certain movies. You can buy a premium ticket that allows you to see it forever as many times as you want.
Yeah, like a lifetime pass.
Lifetime pass. That is brilliant.
Sure. Yep.
It's like $49 instead of $10.
Yeah. I should be grandfathered into that.
You should be able. And I think they should do that for Windows, too. You bought it five times. Go ahead. Have it forever.
Yeah, you win.
You win.
Enjoy. Welcome into the fold.
How many times have you bought the Beatles albums? You know, go ahead.
Please. Yes.
Help yourself. There's a bin of them over there just for you.
Yeah.
No, I admire Microsoft for doing this. I think this is exactly the right thing to do. They kind of telegraphed they were doing this by giving away Windows in the first place, that they wanted to get everybody up to 10 as fast as possible. That's good for everybody. It's good for the ecosystem. It reassures people who were a little bit worried that Windows, you know, 8 was not good. It had heard from friends and so forth, oh, don't get Windows 8. I think this is great. I think I can see the battle in the boardroom, though. Right? You're going to be giving up how much money? I mean, they had to explain it, right?
Yeah.
For Windows 10?
That's why.
This giveaway, especially for pirated copies.
I think it's not as much as you might seem, because those pirates would probably never pay for it.
Anyway.
They'd either stick on their old version of Windows.
I think you're right.
Which is crap for the app ecosystem, or they'd just pirate Windows 10.
Yeah.
You know, there probably wasn't much revenue to be had from these guys.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what Apple told the music industry. Look, you're getting something better than nothing.
Otherwise, you're just not getting
You're never going to get anything, yeah.
Yep, yep.
And you have all these benefits. Developers will pay attention and say, oh, goodness, this is going to be a lot of people going to be using Windows 10. Let's just do a universal app. Call it a day.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Nice job, Terry Myerson.
The other thing, you know, that kind of came out today with regards to WinHack and, you know, Windows 10 and everything was this kind of upgrade matrix, you know. And one of the questions when they announced free Windows 10 upgrade was, well, how does that work? I mean, in other words, I'm running Windows 7. Cool. With Service Pack 1. So I can do an in-place upgrade. It gives me Windows 10. That's neat. And now it's 6 months later or 10 months later or whatever, and I want to reinstall the OS. Like, how do I get that thing back? Do I have to, you know, reinstall Windows 7 with the restore partition, or, you know, then re-upgrade? I mean, can I just install Windows 10? I mean, how does that work?
Well,
and
I think they've given hints. They haven't answered that, but
that's what I mean. It's not 100%, but a little more detail.
They said that you'll be able to make some sort of recovery media to reinstall.
Yeah, and this matrix sort of suggests that there'll be like an ISO. I'm just curious. Yeah. I mean, I wonder how they'll do it exactly. Will you you know, plug in your Microsoft account, get a product key that is this PC only, this Microsoft account only. You know, I would imagine something like that.
Yeah, because the things they used to do, like putting in two product keys, you know, one for the upgrade and one for the old version, obviously you can't do if the old version is pirated and you don't care.
Or if it's just blown away. I mean, maybe, you know, there are a lot of instances, especially Windows 7, where you can't get that thing back. It's just gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's programs that'll do it.
There are really instances where you can't really, even get it back.
It's like gone forever.
Yeah. So, and I just, in the course of doing like clean PC, this stuff this year, I realized, you know, you could like wipe out a PC and, you know, you'd be on eBay looking for a copy of Windows 7 basically at some point. So this seems like a fresh start for everybody. I think I like the way, everyone except Windows RT users, but, you know, Windows PC users, certainly, it seems like a nice fresh start. For just about everybody, including pirates.
I'm happy about that, Paulie. Good news. Take advantage.
Yeah. Is that why you're growing out the mutton chops? Just you want to look the part?
He just decided he wasn't going to shave until we got another build.
Yeah.
Hey, another build any day now? No. somebody was saying that in the chat room when we started. We haven't had a build in years. Months.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here. I got the new, what is it? You said it was a 635 or something.
Phone. I think it's a 635 based on how it looks. Yeah.
And of course I got to enter my Microsoft, account login, which is great. Cause I enter that and everything else kind of goes. Mm-hmm. But I foolishly in the past made a long, secure,
yes,
totally random. Yeah. And I am so sick of typing this thing in.
Yeah.
So just do two-factor and give yourself a shorter password.
I did do two-factor. But I guess I could then. The password doesn't have to be as good. I have the new two-factor where it just sends me a text message. Yeah. And then I say, yes, I do authorize that.
Yep.
That's the best. Good idea?
That's my favorite way to do
it. I like that. Yeah. I've been liking that.
Yeah, because otherwise you have to race the clock.
Right.
You know, you got the two devices. Yeah. They get the things, like, it's got the code, but it's, you know, the things move across. Yeah. You're like, how type... You know, and just because the thing's moving across, you're suddenly, you're a little nervous.
And then Paul keeps changing the subject, so I have to stop and do that. And then I lost my, then I have to start over, and that's about the fourth time.
634897. No, damn it! You know, and then it resets.
So Microsoft has
the Android Authenticator app is the best one.
Yes, you know, I've been using Authy.
I've got that for Android.
Do they have Authy for...
the Microsoft one, you mean, right?
Oh, the Microsoft one.
So you just get the notification.
You accept and deny. You just accept
it. In the notification area, you can just say accept.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about. Yeah, I love this. Yeah.
Why this is not a Windows phone?
Yeah.
We don't know.
It's not going to do this on my Windows. Oh, great.
Yeah. I mean, the Windows phone one is like still, it's standard. So I use the app.
It just generates codes.
For Google.
So it doesn't break that one. I could still use the...
They
authentication. Okay.
I think the Android version, the Microsoft account app, which is what he's talking about, I think you can only do one account, though. Like the Microsoft Authenticator app, you can, you know, have multiple Microsoft accounts, you can have Google accounts, you can Dropbox, you know, whatever supports it.
Yeah.
Well, I signed up for it immediately, and I've been using it, and I like it. Yep, it wants my password again. Gosh darn it.
You do, if you're setting up if you're setting up the phone, you might want to try an app password.
Instead,
so the phone does 2FA though.
The phone understands it. Well, that's the other thing with two-factor authentication, and this is true for Google as well. That when you're in a mobile environment, not all apps understand two-factor, so you have to go back. Twitter does this too. You have to go generate a application-specific password, which, frankly, I think is a kind of a less secure solution.
Sure.
But anyway, and then you never know which it'll do, so you enter your password in. And then it says, no, that's not your password. And you go, yes, it is.
I think it's just a way to out apps that are out of date.
Yeah, because most of them are now coming along and doing it. Right.
Yeah.
So what is this Hello Windows? Hello, is that what we're talking about?
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Hello. Have you ever seen the Lionel Richie missing poster for the tree?
Yes.
What?
Let me see if I can find it here. just so you can see it.
Is this from the video? Is this like a spoof of the Lionel Richie video?
I think it's kind of, what would you say, Peter? Is kind of from
It's a spoof of those flyers you see with the tear-off tags.
Yeah. Okay. Here, I'll show you real quickly, because I found a downloadable PDF so I can put this...
That's good.
And then the tags that you pull off. I could see it in your eyes. I could see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted, and my eyes are open wide. I'm printing this out. I think this should be on our printer right now. Hello, is it me? Then I'm just gonna put it around the studio.
Yep. That's good.
I'm sorry. I think that was a distraction. I think legitimately I've derailed the conversation. So, hello is a Microsoft password. So I was trying desperately, but none of you would pick up the hint.
Yeah, no.
I
missed my opportunity to use the headline, Microsoft gives passwords the finger.
Oh, I like it. So I missed Yahoo announced, this isn't the same thing, I hope. Yahoo announced that you don't have to have a password anymore for Yahoo Mail. They'll just text it to you. So you go to your Yahoo account. You say, hey, I'm Leo Laporte, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Would you text me my password? And they'll text it to me. And, of course, text messages are notoriously insecure. So pretty much there goes your Yahoo password. They're not
only if I've stolen your phone, though.
Well, you can – no. I mean, for instance, law enforcement can easily get your text messages. I don't even think they need much of a –
Law enforcement can also, like, shoot you and break your kneecaps.
That's true. So that would be more of a detriment.
You know, this is further down the list of things they may do to you that are bad.
Excellent point. All right. Yeah. I'll stop worrying about law enforcement. But hackers, too, can easily intercept SMSs, I think. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Yes. No.
Yeah, but
some guy in the studio today is nodding vigorously. So I don't know what to think about that.
The thing, Leo, all of these are like trying to be better than just like some really crummy password that you use on.
Well, that's the idea. Monkey 123 is probably worse than having.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what is Microsoft suggesting?
Does Paul want to explain a bit, or should I describe it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Paul. Well, so there's two things. There's hello, and then there's a resurrection of the passport
name. Oh, no, the one single sign-on?
It's not that. It's the same name.
Oh, good. God.
So hello, you'll be able to – it's a biometric framework for logging into Windows.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It'll support fingerprints, facial recognition, and iris recognition.
Wow.
And so if it's using the facial recognition, you'll just be able to sit down at your Windows PC, and it will unlock. Connect style sort of instant automatic unlocking.
And that's through having a pit camera that just says
so hello. Yeah, it needs special webcams. Intel has one, like, what's it, the real,
why does it need a special 3D?
So the special Intel webcam has a infrared light in it and an infrared camera in it.
So I know why. So I can tell you're not holding up a picture of somebody.
Right. Yeah, exactly that. So it makes it more robust. So a regular webcam won't work. But
so the infrared can see that there's flesh, that it's beating heart behind this picture.
So there aren't too many of those. I mean, there are quite a lot of laptops out there with fingerprint readers, and from what I can tell, they should all work. Or, you know, most of them should
work. I can tell you from using the iPhone for a while now, the Touch ID is such a boon. Actually, my Galaxy Note 4 does it too. When apps accept that instead, like LastPass does, it's huge. It's like, oh, thank you. I don't have to enter in a password.
Yep.
And I would love, you know, there are apps now on, you know, if you have a Chromebook, Android 5, now I forgot my password again. Okay, just...
Wow.
Are you my father?
The problem is they only show dots, so I don't know where I left off.
Oh, Leo.
20 characters in, and I don't know where I am.
Here's my recommendation.
Box you can tick.
Change the password.
To something really easy.
Yeah. Password 123 is good. Try that.
And then, but I have two factors, so I'm safe.
Well, yeah.
That's the theory.
It's waiting for verification. Oh, now it's waiting for verification. Because I have turned on that thing, and now I get my Android phone. It's a little weird to verify a Microsoft sign-on with an Android phone, but hey.
We're all facing this brave new world with some trepidation.
No, it didn't do it. Where else would it have sent it? Where does it send this?
Everyone. Anyone.
So It sends it to your whatever your default authenticator app is.
Of course, there is another problem because I probably don't have.
There are secondary ways to get the code. Does it give you the option to just get a text message?
Yeah.
Having trouble? Enter security code. Oh, okay. So now I could do the authenticator. Okay, good. All right. Because I don't think this text that just came in that says, cool, I don't think that's from Microsoft.
You never know.
Cool, now. That could be. Cool. Cool, you did it. Congratulations.
Did it. Cool.
Cool. You're authenticated, dude. Welcome. All right, now this phone will start sucking down all my contacts and everything. I do like that. So on a Chromebook, if you have Android 5, getting in proximity, they use Bluetooth, I think, LE, will unlock the Chromebook. There are some third-party solutions for Apple using Touch ID with an iOS device and a Macintosh. Yeah. But I think it needs to be built into the OS.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I feel like it's probably, sketch. So is that Hello?
Hello is logging into Windows. Passport is pretty much generalizing that for everything that isn't Windows. So it's like an API for developers to plumb into. I guess similar to the Touch ID on the iPhone, where apps can use it to unlock, they'll similarly be able to use the face or the iris or the fingerprint.
How close are affordable iris scanners?
That's a good question. The announcement implied that a webcam can do it, as
Wouldn't
long as
be
it's
cool?
one of these fancy webcams.
Yeah, the Intel one needs a special IR component to it.
So I don't know if you have to get close to it or if it's just
because that's a little ungainly to have to go all the way up to your computer.
The demo they have, it must
mobile,
be a facial recognition,
great.
But it
with
happens.
Mobile, it'd be great. You just go that
just in front of it. Sure.
Oh, I'd love that. Although, that's because I'm presuming iris is more accurate than fingerprint. I don't even know if it is.
I think
about iris is it's probably harder to steal because obviously you leave your fingerprints everywhere. You touch stuff.
Right.
You don't tend to leave eyeball prints everywhere.
And if someone does steal your eyeball, you have bigger problems than your password being stolen.
Right. The downside is I'd rather have someone cut off my finger than gouge my eye out of my skull.
But again, that's what's the beauty of this, because it does have the infrared scanner. It will not work with a detached eyeball or thumbprint. Unless
I'll be sure to alert the thief of that fact.
Well, you do. You say, don't cut it off because it won't work.
Give me my damn eyeball back.
Yeah, don't take it out. Just hold my head up to the iris scanner.
Yeah, I mean, smack me around a little bit.
It's okay.
Don't
cut it out.
Nobody benefits from that.
Yeah.
This is what it's like to be a Windows user, Leo.
Don't worry about people stealing your iPads. The other side is there's this FIDO thing for logging into websites with biometrics. Microsoft has joined the FIDO group.
That's a Google initiative initially, but I think it's now widespread.
Contributed stuff for FIDO 2.0. So I think at some point, if you have websites that use FIDO logins, they'll again be able to leverage the fingerprint.
Peter?
He's coming for your eyes.
He's in the room, Peter.
My damn eyeball. So in theory, those websites will be able to use your fingerprint, face, or eyeball recognition. integrated into Spartan and all these other things, I'm sure.
Yep. Yeah, and Passport works with all the Microsoft services, as you would expect out of the box. You kind of get that today. If you go to, OneDrive.com or Xbox Music or whatever in Internet Explorer, and you've logged in with your Microsoft account, you just go right in. It goes right in.
Yeah, it's magical.
I've used face recognition on Android devices. I think Samsung did that. A few
others. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Lenovo does a bit of it.
It's not good. It's terrible.
Yeah, because it's the consumer-oriented stuff is not very good right now.
Well, and because you have to be in a similar light if you're wearing glasses. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know who you are.
All the questions, right?
That is actually another one of the things that the IR can do, because it illuminates with its own IR light. It's actually pretty resilient to changing light conditions and things like that. So it makes it more reliable as well as, I think, more accurate.
Sometimes I feel like, especially on Twitter, that people don't get me. So I made the joke yesterday, you know, that identical twin walks up to brother's computer, signs in as him with this technology and steals his identity and bank accounts, you know. And then you get a lot of people who are really serious writing you back. Well,
oh my God.
Identical twins aren't technically identical, Paul. Or, you know, whatever. And it's like, guys, seriously. Right. I'm just, you know, like, relax. You know, it's
if
like,
you really whatever. Don't trust your identical twin brother, then
you know one of them's evil. I mean, this is that's he's the law of nature.
That one,
you know.
It's my remembrance that biometric face scans do things like geometry and distance between the pupils and the mouth.
Yeah. Sure.
It's actually the Kinect is very accurate on the Xbox One, with one exception. So when I sit down, it knows it's me. When Michael, my stepson, comes in, it sits down and knows it's him, except that he looks a lot like his mom, apparently, because when his mom comes in, it says, hello, Michael.
It happens. With
every time. But that's Kinect. Maybe this will be better, I hope.
Kinect, the bastard stepchild of optical recognition.
Yeah. But it's using infrared, isn't it? Is it not? Maybe not.
Yes.
Infrared, yeah.
Infrared. As opposed to infrared.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm excited about Hello. And Passport, I'm sorry, did I miss what that is?
Passport is the API.
That's just how you would include it.
Third-party devs can use it in the same way.
Great. All right, let's take...
I was going to say, like, the problem with so many Windows things is OEMs have to, like, do their bit.
Right.
And...
Well, that's sensible because if your WinBook's selling a $60 tablet, I think the onus should not be on you to include iris recognition in it. Right.
But I'm hoping because like one of the pictures they showed shows using Hello to unlock a phone.
That makes so much sense.
So I'm hoping the mythical Lumia flagship phone will have fingerprint or iris or something.
All right. Please. I'm sorry to interrupt this discussion, but it's 3 o'clock, and that means that 3 o'clock in here
in Paul East Town. Coast. Yeah.
Microsoft is now releasing a new build of Windows 10.
You're kidding.
Yep.
I'm not kidding.
Can you not download it right now?
You can now download it right now.
Can you not download it right now?
Well, I'm on the podcast. I can't download it.
Thank you.
Actually, you were asking.
All of a sudden, Skype goes flatline.
No, I'm not an idiot. Well,
well,
I'm not going to do this one.
I have done similar things. You remember, I installed an update in the middle of a show.
Nice.
Rebooted the computer.
Yes. I'm like, don't press the click.
Ah! Well, we'll be back in 20 minutes.
10,041, I think.
So this is great. Celebrate good times. Hey, Cortana.
Hey, Cortana.
Yeah.
Hey, Cortana.
Hey, Cortana. So good. A new build. How long has it been? It's been a while.
55 days. Not that I'm...
Not that who's counting. 55 days, 3 hours, 4 minutes.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I'm still showing no update available, so...
All right. Stop, everybody. Do not... You want to watch the show, then download. It'll keep. Can you download it in 1 minute?
No.
No.
Because I'm going to do a commercial right now to let you do that. I'll do 2 minutes. Will that be
three?
Enough?
Can I get three? No, I don't think
do
so.
Do I hear three? Our show today brought to you by our great friends at RingCentral. They do our phone system in the Brick House Studios. They did it 4 years ago when we moved in here, and I have never had a complaint. I mean, just love it. The reason is, you're going to get a phone system in your business, and this really only applies. It doesn't apply to your house. It applies to small businesses. Although, if you have a business and you're a sole proprietor, you'll love how RingCentral makes you look like a big company. If you have people, as many businesses do, it's you in one place and you have 3 employees in 4 different cities, which would be a trick. That can also make RingCentral can bring it all together so that you have one central phone number, a phone tree, a directory system. See, once you get in the cloud, magical things can start to happen. RingCentral.com. I want you to check it out. It is a phone system. It's VoIP. It's a cloud-based PBX. And one of the nice things about being in the cloud is they're always adding new features. And you don't have to, you know, get some technician down to put a new module into your PBX. It just happens. RingCentral will let you put your smartphones to work because it integrates with both iOS and Android devices. In fact, you can use the RingCentral app to dial as if you're dialing from your office number. Your office number can ring your cell phone. You can send text messages and faxes. Customize your system from a web browser or the mobile app. And this is really great nowadays. You can kind of rest assured because all of your calls are private and encrypted using Secure Voice. That is really nice. With RingCentral, keep your existing number. Use toll-free numbers, local extensions, even vanity numbers. Customer support free and 24/7, and there are no setup fees or activation fees. Now, here's some really exciting news. RingCentral has just announced RingCentral for Google, and I'm really thrilled about this. You can actually integrate your Google for Work accounts right into RingCentral so you have a seamless communication experience. Everything like the, well, I'll give you an example. Your dial pad, when you're in Google, in your Gmail account, you've got a dial pad on the screen, or you can click a number in a Gmail message or a contact or a calendar and just place a call. It's just like on your mobile device. Voicemails directly within Gmail. Faxing from Google Drive, viewing text messages, scheduling conference calls, all of that. RingCentral really is amazing. I mean, they just keep adding features. We've talked before about the video conferencing. It is a complete communication system. You don't need a fax machine anymore. It really is great. And with employees all over the country or all over the world, RingCentral is such a good solution. I want you to try it right now. $25 per month per user. And that includes a basket of long-distance minutes, a lot of features, all the features. You can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial, plus a special offer, and that's just for you, our Twit listeners. For every desk phone you buy, you get a second phone free up to 20 phones. Let me say that again. For every phone you buy, you get a second phone free up to 20. Visit ringcentral.com, use the offer code TWIT, or call 800-543-9980. RingCentral.com or 800-543-9980 and make sure you use the offer code TWIT. RingCentral.com. Peter Bright is filling in this week for Mary Jo Foley. She'll be back next week. Paul Thurrott is also here from Thurrott.com. How's that going with a new website?
It's going great.
You like it? I mean, you got a better CMS?
Yeah, I'm on WordPress.
Nice.
You may have heard of it.
Well, and the nice thing about WordPress, you can use things like LiveWriter. I guess Microsoft doesn't use LiveWriter anymore, but you can use tools that don't mean – it just makes it so much better. Do they still that blogging platform?
I don't use it. I'm not sure. But
I used to use it. I loved it.
Oh, I did too. Yeah, sure. No, the web stuff's so good now. It doesn't really matter.
That's great.
I mean, it's a smaller team of people, and they respond quickly, and everything goes great, and the site is great, and the traffic is good, and –
Well, and you've already filed a story. Did you file while I did that ad?
No.
That's impressive, Paul. Yep. 1,000-word story on the new Windows 10 update and all within the time of an ad.
No, I had that.
You had people? Ready. Oh, you had it ready. You pushed publish.
I bet people. Talk to your people.
Do you have people?
No, I have no people. I need people.
Basically.
I like people. I'm a people person.
He's a people pleaser. All right. OS compression. We'd heard this, that Windows 10 did some compression, and I have to say, remember, what was it, Stacker? It brought up some bad memories.
Yeah.
We're not talking that.
Peter,
right?
Do you understand Wimboot?
Yeah.
This is a topic that you get. Can you explain this briefly? Because this is sort of an enhancement to Wimboot is how I understand.
Yeah, kind of. So, as we all know, I'm sure, Windows 8.1 update changed the disk requirements. I think 16 gigs is now the minimum, down from 32 gigs. And the problem on 16 gigs is when you have the operating system and a recovery partition at the same time, which means traditionally that you're storing everything twice, you know, one copy for recovery, one copy for using. You don't have a whole lot of disk space left on your 16 gig. system. So they did all the details. I don't think they've fully explained, but it sounds like with on these 16 gig Wimboot machines, you still have your recovery partition with the recovery image, and on the operating system partition, you know, the actual one that runs and that you use, it just has a bunch of pointers that point into the recovery partition. So you don't need to store all the files twice. You just have them on recovery and a bunch of pointers, and somehow they change Windows so that it understands these pointers and treats them like they're the regular file. And so it can save a ton of disk space. And it's actually quite a neat solution, but they've decided that they don't want to use it anymore in Windows 10 because it was complicated.
Yeah.
You couldn't like use the regular Windows installer to create this. You needed special tooling to do it. And so it was a pain for the OEMs. So that's what Windows 10 is doing. So my understanding is that Windows 10 actually uses the same process that Windows Phone pretty much uses. All the operating system files are in the working operating system, you know, partition. There's no separate recovery partition. And when you do a refresh or a reset, it'll just blow away everything that doesn't belong to the operating system and put back a default registry. And so it just recovers to the same files that were already there.
Is that the behavior you like, you want?
Well, yeah. It should make recovery
there are pluses
quicker.
And minuses.
Right.
Yeah, so recovery should be quicker because instead of having to copy all the files from the image back to the working partition, they're already there. It just has to delete everything that it doesn't like. And the other one, and this is actually quite a big win, it means if you do a reset, you won't need to install all the security patches again. Because the big problem with these recovery partitions is that nothing touches them. Every time you patch Windows, the recovery partition is left as is. So you do your system reset and it recovers to the base operating system. And all of a sudden, you're totally insecure because you're running.
And
potentially
like, have 167 you know, like updates to do.
It's a pain in the butt. It took me 4 days because I had to reboot, right. Wait.
Like if you have like a Windows 7 PC right now and you do a reset on that, you know, you could be going back to whenever 2009, you know, that's
yeah,
a lot of patches.
You're talking hours and hours and hours of these painful updates.
So, and so on the new system, because it should be using the operating system files that have already been updated and patched and kept up to date, it should be much quicker and more secure, in fact, to do a system reset. The downside is, I think, to me, it feels a little bit more fragile. 4chan's favorite advice has always been delete system 32. You know, if you've got any PC problem, delete system 32.
Why? Now, well, then you can't boot.
Well, but then you also can't recover because the files you need have been deleted.
Now, in fairness, deleting system 32 these days is a whole lot harder than it used to be. It used to be that, like in the Windows XP era, I think you could just be like an administrator and you could quite easily delete system 32. You can't do that now. Even as an administrator, it won't just let you delete system 32. But if you're like a virus and you've like infected the kernel or, you know, whatever nasty stuff viruses can do, you can delete system 32 all day long.
Well, it's not just nefarious stuff, right? I mean, what if you have some kind of corruption or it could just be a mistake?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it could be on disk corruption or, you know.
I'm also worried, though, about malware infecting these.
And then you keep getting the malware infected version.
Not only the updates, but malware.
Sure. So you can create recovery, disks. I mean, can.
You can make.
Yeah, but we know nobody does that except people listening.
We don't know what that is yet. Right, they don't, and so you know, what I would really like from Microsoft is what Apple does, where, I mean, Apple has advantages because they own the firmware of the system. But basically, you can have a small installer that's right. like a few hundred megs, and it will just grab the operating system from the internet.
Right. It pulls it from the cloud. Now,
what
it pulls, though, is the version that your computer came with.
Right.
So it isn't exactly – it's kind of
– it's a little harder for Microsoft to do because, you know, they still need drivers for your network cards and things like that, which, you know, Apple has easy and Microsoft doesn't. But sure. – You know, with Windows 10 sort of kind of being free now,
yep.
you would think that actually this is something that they could do. You know, yep. worst case, you have to enter a product.
Well, I mean, what does Windows Update do anyway? It examines your system. You know, part of the deal of Windows Update is it will give you driver updates that are specific mm-hmm. to your system. There's mm-hmm. no reason this can't be built into this. Windows Update could be something that runs in the recovery environment.
You imagine they could have, like... let's say some sort of minimal one yeah. gig Windows thing that you can stick on a USB key that will have yeah. enough to fire.
Yeah, generic network. What you need is a generic check. Video driver and generic network
yeah,
driver.
Start kind of this.
You get online safe, and get Windows Update drivers, going.
And then you yeah, go on.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
we've all done this. You install Windows.
And I would really like to see them do this because
yep.
It's such a great solution. You know, it's not yep. perfect. Like, the recovery partition has still got nice features. Like, it's really quick compared to dragging stuff down off the internet, which can be a little bit slow. But, yeah, I really...
At least as an option, it should be there. That,
right,
I think that's
exactly,
the point.
Exactly that.
But nine it's times out of ten or more, you're not going to even need the thing you're describing. It's just nice to have it if you need it, you know? You can run overnight. You know, who cares?
Yeah.
It's better than not having it. The only issue I have with all this stuff is that... you know, the benefit of getting Windows onto a 16 gig device is not much of a benefit for people. It's a benefit for PC makers. It lets them sell really cheap devices, you know.
Right.
In some ways, I sort of think, well, why don't you sell a 32 gig device that you're advertising as a 24 gig device and
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
just have that thing beyond the disk and you never see it, never can touch it, and it's just there and you don't have to worry about it. You know, I mm-hmm. mean, we're talking about a very small difference in price here, I would think, for these components. But
yeah, but when you buy the $69 WinBook, and it has it 16 gigs,
every penny counts.
Yeah, and it has 16 gigs.
Even on like your 32 gig machine, this new system should give you more disk space. So
yep. it does. So it absolutely does. Yeah,
yep. You know that. So it's still, you know, there's still an upside to it. You don't have the recovery partition, and then there's this second thing, which is the compression.
This is like saying, hey, look, if you take your seatbelt off while you're driving the car's going to go a little faster. You know? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels
most of the time,
way.
That's going to work out great. But, I don't know. I just worry about the recovery stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, if you read technical websites like the ones we have, people will explain, you know, how to fix this problem. But the people mm-hmm. who are reading those sites don't have to worry. They know how to fix these problems. I mean, it's my mother, it's my sister, it's the normal people out in the world who are not going to understand corruption or a virus or whatever happens. Yeah. And those are the guys.
Or, you know, or for review hardware, it's so nice. Just punch that button for system reset.
Yeah, it's
the best. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Boom. It's perfect. It's pretty.
And even on a low-end device, it's amazing.
We have, I want to put this up. We've got a missing child. It's kind of.
So when Mary Jo comes back next week, you got to put Lionel Richie's face over Mary Jo's.
It's kind of an Amber Alert here.
that's good.
No, it strikes me that there, and you can correct me on this, there are three distinct audiences, and each has a different need in this regard. There's people who listen to this show. There's the enthusiasts. They know what to do. They're the ones.
And by the way, they're not buying $69 tablets.
Oh, they are like crazy, but it's not an issue because they can figure that out. There is the business. Now, enterprise, I would presume most businesses have people to do this kind of thing. They're using images of their own. They probably don't care about the... In fact, I would guess a lot of businesses blast the recovery partition off immediately.
Exactly. They have their own
It's the last image. Thing they want you to do. So really, it's this middle ground, and I don't know how big a business this is from Microsoft. From doing the radio show, I sense it's quite large, of normal people who have no clue.
Yeah.
Have no idea. Well, they don't make recovery.
They do this for device makers, right? In other words,
right.
the reason we see 4 gig phones and the reason we see 16 gig tablets... is because the no-name companies that make those things went to Microsoft and said, you know, you need to make this as cheap as you can make it.
You see this barrel? You see the bottom of this barrel? We want to scrape that.
Yeah, yeah. We actually want to pick the barrel up, dig 6 feet further down. You'll find another barrel in there.
Right.
Go to the bottom of that. Yeah. I mean, they're just the way they are.
Everyone in the chat room is thanking you for the many, many of them are getting build 10,041 now. A lot of them are almost done. Somebody, Zbeck,
are they you for it?
Oh, okay. A good question, actually, because there's an answer to this. Someone asking about an ISO. There is no ISO. This is a fast track update, and their policy is fast track updates will not have ISOs.
Oh, okay. Ever.
Slow track updates will get
ISOs. Okay, so in other words, you have to actually have Windows 10.
You have to do a in-place install.
So I'm going to install Windows 10 on this phone, or I'm going to install it on my desktop. You're going to get the earlier version and run the updater.
Yeah. Other thing, there's no phone update today.
Oh.
No, but their new process, they have this new process of hopefully getting updates out quicker. It does apply to the phone, but because the phone is harder to... The phone is harder to fix if it screws up, so they have to be a bit more careful on what they release for that.
You Microsoft apologists. I'm sick of your crap.
Well, you know, it's really difficult. I don't know if you've ever tried to like boot the phone into safe mode and like type commands into the command prompt. It's not great for that. So,
I bricked my Lumia 1520. It was not a fun thing. To do.
I think you're the only person on earth that's.
I know, I'm the one.
How did you do that?
I know.
What were you that's doing?
You want instructions?
Actually, you want to know the hilarity of this? I think he did it using the Nokia recovery software.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's probably the only way you can.
I had a guy in here who worked at Nokia Finland, and he said, oh, no, you can't do that. And I said, well, I did. He said, no, let me see. I could fix it. He couldn't.
No, literally, I believe this has never happened before.
He said, this cannot happen. But I have it. I gave you the phone and it works not at all. So there, it's a break. So, but you know what I found out is the Nokia Depot or whatever, the repair folks, I guess it's not Nokia anymore, the Microsoft repair folks, if you send them a phone that is.
They'll just give you a different one.
They
back.
Give you, for, I think it's. $200 something, they'll send you a new one. So on Twitter told me that and said, hey, can I have your old phone? Because I broke mine. I got it 5 days later, I broke it. If you send it to me and it's got the screen's working, the digitizer's working, I can get a new one. I said, sure. So I sent it to him. I guess he got a new one. I haven't heard from him. But I'm okay because I have this, whatever this is. Now, this has 8 gigs of storage. Is this going to have enough storage to go to Windows 10? Really?
No, not today.
Say again?
Put a micro SD in it.
No, this doesn't have a room for that.
No, it does. It does.
What do I take the back off?
You can pop that whole thing off.
You're kidding me.
No, the back has the battery, the two SIM cards, and micro SD.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. 128
gig micro SD.
If I brick this, I don't care.
Who cares?
It's my lunchbox phone.
Yeah.
Take it at the top edge.
Look, Peter's demonstrating with his. All right.
You guys need to have fingernails to do this. I'll take my 635 out as well. It happens to be right here.
It's very
look. There's... Mine is green.
Hey, so did they send everybody different colors so we'd know?
Oh, no,
when we go to WinHack, we could all know that one's mine. This is would you put this up at the front?
I don't get fancy Cortana boxes.
Look, a spudger. That's what I needed.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I bought this.
Yeah, I try to. I have fingernails. I've been taking
go from the top, Leo. Leah, you got to two finger it from the top. There you go.
There we go. Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. Oh, yeah. There's a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Well, wait a minute now. I know this is. No one has his phone, so this is a complete waste of our time.
I disagree. They've sold a lot of these.
I bet they have. So where does the. Oh, it goes right in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I got to say, I'm really looking forward to the 640. The 635 is kind of sad in many ways.
Hey.
Well, the camera's not great.
What's sad? I got sad.
It doesn't have it doesn't have automatic screen brightness. I don't think it doesn't have a proximity sensor.
Oh, that's okay. I don't need that.
The 640.
You know, it's a low-end phone.
Yeah.
Fixes everything. I really like the 640. Better screen, better everything.
So if what about the XL though? Doesn't the XL have a better camera?
So yeah, the XL also has a better camera.
I'm interested in that one.
13 megapixel, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
So do you recommend putting an SD card in before I go to Windows 10 on this?
So my understanding is that it can use the SD card. So you can move almost all the apps over to the SD card.
Nice. Really?
Which frees up a bunch of space.
Oh,
and
that's great.
I think, I could be wrong, I think you can also use the SD card to store updates temporarily.
OS updates.
So it doesn't need to store, download the patch onto the 8 gigs.
Great, I can put it on the SD card. In fact, I could probably download it on my computer and put it in the SD card.
The one thing it seems not to do, which is really annoying because they're huge, is put maps on the SD card.
Oh. Here won't do that either?
No, because it uses the same system maps.
Right. Mm. Yep.
But apart from that, yeah.
Did you tweet about that recently? That sounds like something that came up recently.
Yeah, because I like to download the entire globe in case I get there.
Just in case I get lost.
Yeah.
And offline.
Where am I? You're in
Sometimes you can be a little too compulsive.
You're in the Tasman Sea. Well, fortunately, I saved that map.
I have my offline map for that. Then you can be like, oh, we're screwed.
Yeah.
Looks like, All right, cool. So I will put the Windows Phone 10. Although it's not that different, is it, yet? Windows Phone 10.
Not really, no.
No,
not really.
No real rush to do that.
Not the one we have. I mean, it's getting different, but, based on...
Yeah. All right, I'll wait. The battery life's supposed to be pretty good on the 635.
It's a nice little phone.
Yeah. I'm going to put an SD card in here, which will cost more than the phone.
I know. I know. It's true. But it's unlike the phone, it will be useful a year from now.
That's true. I can reuse it. You're right. Yeah. A good point. So,
yeah.
It came with Nokia Glam Me on it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I understand that the people who use this are doing
children?
Glamour. I don't know. Yeah, children. Yeah. Thank you.
Children and or developmentally challenged.
It's the Microsoft kin of Windows phones.
Yeah.
All right. So we explained WimBoot. We explained OS compression. We explained the new restore system. There's no point in talking about a leaked build 10,036.
I agree. It's what we got today, so that's good.
Oh, 10,036 is 10,041?
No,
I mean the feature sets.
Because actually, I think the leaked 10,036 included Project Spartan, I think.
Ah. No, it didn't.
Didn't
no,
it?
It didn't. It did. No.
I heard that it did.
No, it didn't.
I haven't.
Are you laughing at all the tech blogs that announced with big headlines Microsoft not going to put out Internet Explorer anymore?
I made
fun. Yeah, that was a fine statement on the state of technology journalism today.
It's like Microsoft says something it said 2 months ago. Let's pretend it's news.
Yeah. I could have sworn you told me this months ago that they were going to rename Internet Explorer. Project Spartan was not going to be the name.
Listen, here's my problem with this. I'm completely out to lunch. How did I notice this? I don't understand what other people are doing. It's like, there's nothing to say there. It's like, hey, Windows RT won't be supported by a Windows 8, Windows 10 upgrade. Right. Well, they said that 2 months ago. We know.
Yeah, no, they phrased it slightly differently. So, before it was Windows RT will get select pieces or something.
Yeah, some features
which,
via some.
Which I presume to mean, and I hope they do, just because it's kind of a nice gesture and also sensible, put on desktopless Windows.
Yeah. That would be nice.
It
kind of extend the lifetime of that thing a little bit.
Yeah. Put on the desktopless Windows.
I don't see them doing that, but I agree that would be nice. Yeah.
And so, by the way, get back to the Spartan thing. Even the headline was wrong because, in fact, Internet Explorer will continue to come with Windows.
Of course it will.
So that's wrong. It's goofy. I mean, the headline said, goodbye, Internet Explorer.
Microsoft kills Internet Explorer branding,
2 months ago, we knew this. It was going to have a new name for Spartan, and they're still including it. I don't get it.
Some publications just aren't that bothered about the facts.
No, and all headlines are link bait, basically. No, that's really the truth. It's all about, as long as you click it, they don't care.
Okay, fair enough. I'd appreciate it at least being clever. And, I would sort of also at least would appreciate it at least being, accurate. Like, don't make some, it can't just be clickbait bullshit. Like, it has to be clickbait. Like
the headline cannot contain all the details. That's what the story is for. But at least be, like, based on reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a lot to ask.
I think we have similar standards. It's what I'm hearing, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But that's not how some people roll.
Hey, it's BuzzFeed's world. We just live in it.
Sure. You're never going to believe what happens next.
Well, the good news is if you listen to Windows, and really, frankly, this is what I would use to promote Windows Weekly. You really want to know what's going on, just listen to Windows Weekly, and then you'll know 2 months ahead of time what's going to happen.
Everyone could know this. It's not like a secret.
It's not a secret, but you guys. Now, to reiterate, because two months from now, this will be the story. Yeah. Sparta is not included in 10,041.
Right. And by the Gabe, I'll explain on Twitter why that is. It was originally, Microsoft had originally said it would be in the next public build. But as part of this new way of doing things, they've changed the process. And that is apparently has something to do with why Sparta could not be included. Yeah. So
have either of you seen Sparta at all or just those screenshots we saw?
No, not in person.
Yeah.
They did the demo.
So, like, the engine is there. It's just the user interface. And the,
yeah.
Okay. We don't have.
I see it every day, Leo. It's called Chrome.
It looks like Chrome, doesn't it?
You know?
Yeah.
But it looks great. I mean, I'm happy to try it. I don't think it's going to change my life or anything. But I mean, it's.
Yeah. And I'm really thrilled to see. And I think this headline came from Vice that BitTorrent will be included in the next version of Windows.
Yes, thank you.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
But there will be a peer-to-peer something.
Yeah. So that's good. A lot of people don't know this, but in the server versions of Windows, and I think this goes back to 2008, they had this technology for branch offices so that if somebody pulled down a bunch of Windows updates over a slow WAN connection, the other machines on that local network could get it from that computer rather than having to go back out over the WAN, and it would save bandwidth and save the company money. And so, as is so often the case, you know, this happened with BitLocker, for example, those things that start first on the server are kind of, you know, making their way down to the client. And, of course, as it does, it also picks up some new capabilities. And so it really does seem to be like a peer-to-peer thing because it's not just on your home network. That will work.
So,
but it appears it's going to go out over the internet as well.
I'm 99% sure that this is completely different technology.
Oh, no, I just mean, in other words, it doesn't have to be based on the same.
If you've got several PCs, you'll only need to grab the updates over your internet connection once. Yes, that aspect is true. But the technology is new and it will do. The reason it's sort of BitTorrent style is that in theory, your PC will be able to update from just other random
like
PCs
over the internet.
On the internet.
You're going to seed updates, you know.
Servers. Right.
So,
yeah.
It's like I've got the new Hobbit movie and also a security update for Internet Explorer.
Really? They're going to do it that everybody's seeds?
It's optional, I think.
You could turn that off?
Yeah.
I think it's a switch. You have to,
it's like default?
I've seen we've only seen the option. For
I mean, it makes sense that I would download once and seed it to my office, but I don't want to seed it to Paraguay.
And by the way, there are also people who are on limited bandwidth connections or metered connections.
There's you can't just turn them on to do it. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Is Microsoft's running out of bandwidth?
I think this is meant to be a savings for people. In other words, when things are coming from a single direction, it's often there's a bottleneck. You know, Patch Tuesday is probably a freaking disaster. Yeah. And this is just a way to get this stuff, you know, working the way the internet does, have it coming at you from multiple directions.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. We distributed this show in its earliest days on BitTorrent, but that was a voluntary. You know, we asked people, would you mind seeding and.
Sure.
No, I imagine that the trade-off will be, particularly if you've got a really fast internet connection, it'll be quicker to get them peer-to-peer.
Microsoft runs out of bandwidth, and you won't believe what happens next.
Yep. It's like SETI, except instead of intelligent life on other planets, we're looking for updates.
Thank you, Techno Squid, for that line. The chat room is now becoming my writer's room.
Well, you watch local news. You'll discover that people on Twitter have now become their reporters.
Yeah.
You know,
thanks to Meerkat, we have direct video from that fire.
I don't watch the local news, but for the first 15 minutes of the news last night, which we did watch for the first time in ages, It was all reports from Twitter, from people's cell phones. It was the most ridiculous excuse for journalism I've ever seen, and I spent a lot of time.
You watch Good Morning America now. You hear last week's memes. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really sad. I'm really kind of blown away by how low quality that was.
Well, I think probably they think our viewers are so stupid they don't have the internet, so this is all new to them.
Well, I think to a lot of people who watch these stupid news shows, they're thinking, wow, I could participate in this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a little, it's like a,
wow,
you know,
I can be part of the fun.
Yeah, it's not people who know what's happening tell me what's happening. Yeah. Like, I can be part of the show.
I can be Tiny Kyle.
Sure enough, but that show, that's a show. It's not called a news show.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there's a show there.
Yeah. Well, it's the news vans are wearing out, and you don't really need to buy a new one anymore.
I guess. I don't know. Can't send Susie, the intern, out to the shore of Massachusetts during a hurricane.
This box was floating underwater last 10 minutes
ago. Bob, where I'm standing, the wind is apparently 156 miles an hour.
All right, moving along.
Microsoft, we're not making any forward progress here
at all. We've got to make some forward progress. Microsoft promises to speed Windows 10 preview releases.
Now, they explained that today. Let's forget. It's just the promise here is we're going to see at least one new build every month, possibly.
Don't make
two.
Promises you can't keep.
Yeah.
Well, they have a plan, Leo, and
when
have they ever let us down before?
I have a plan.
As they said on Blackadder, I have a plan. It's as hot as my pants.
And have you looked at, well, you don't have it yet. Anybody looked at the icons yet on the new?
The icons are horrific, and everyone hates them.
The 10,041 icons, are they the same? Or?
Yeah. So this is a big controversy for some reason. I would say that I don't really care personally, but there's no way to fix this other than to offer multiple sets of icons, because whatever they ship is not going to make people happy. I mean, that's just the way things go these days. And then instead of trying to figure out like some set of icons that make people happy.
I think the way to fix it is to ship it and just tell people to shut the hell up.
Oh, you could do that. Well, they're not Apple, Peter. Yeah. You know? But yeah,
Apple's a very successful company, Paul. Wouldn't you want to be like Apple? Yeah.
That's true. That's a good
These
point.
Are the flattest icons we've ever made.
They're so flat, they're actually technically a little concave.
These icons are thinner than a Biafran baby. No, you can't. No, that was bad. Wow. I'm sorry. Too soon. I'm sorry.
Thinner than a tick's ass.
Can't people just change the icons? I mean, don't people sell like
icon
packs?
What people can do is complain loudly and repeatedly, preferably on Twitter.
Microsoft doesn't offer theme packs anymore, or do they? Remember, you used to be able to change the appearance and
like a plus pack thing.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. They need a Windows 10 Plus pack. Yeah.
Each pixel carefully placed by hand.
Make it look like Windows XP.
By Tibetan monks.
It's the watercolor theme from Whistler.
I wish.
Still Which, by the way, will Windows. Actually look fantastic today, because that was kind of flat as well.
Right, and geometric and good looking.
What comes around goes around.
Yeah.
I have a very, very cunning plan.
Yes, I love that show.
Thank you, Cool Breeze.
It's like, Baldrick, there are monkeys in the Andes that have figured this out.
There are Windows 10. There is a Windows 10 build for phones leaked, right?
Yeah. And this is, what you start to see are some of the Windows 10 for PC elements making their way down to the phone. It's a bunch of stuff we just don't see in the public phone build. So hopefully we get a new phone build sometime. Yeah, this month.
And also, making it look a little more like the current public Windows 10 phone build looks very unfinished in places.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't sure what word you were going to use. I was going
to
say rough.
Trying to think of an appropriate,
rough,
safe word. Rough. Yeah, it's pretty
rough. It's like the Sherry O'Terry skit on SNL when she used to put the makeup all over her face, and just walk out the door like that. We'll make you an American one reference at a time.
We're going to have a new segment. What does all
Paul really loves SNL for
What is the all tweet? Gabe All talking about the icons. It's a key point of doing a preview. We try something new. You share feedback. We consider it.
By the way, I'm not to single out the guy who wrote the question he's responding to, but it's very typical. In other words, so what you're saying is you're going to change them again. I mean, why would you even put these out now?
Why bother? Why bother? Like, what's wrong with it? Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So here's my response to this. First of all, Gayball is a superhero. He's on Twitter interacting with normal people, which he must regret. I'm sure at Microsoft, the door slammed shut behind him. And they're all giggling behind, you know, on the other side of the wall. And it's not him personally doing, like, torturing you, you know. There is sort of a self-righteous indignation aspect to this. And I, of course, I engage in it as well. I bitch and moan worse than anybody on Twitter. But, you know, it's not – I try to direct the ire at
– a position of professionalism.
I try – well, thank you. I can't live up to that, but I hope so. the ire that I have is for the machine, right? It's not for Gayball, you know. But the problem is when you put yourself out there – and, you know, you and I experience this every day. Leo does. The ire is directed at you, you know, and so today should be a great day for Gayball because they have a new build. He's the hero of the internet, but he's still going to get this crap like every day. Like it's never going to stop because you're never going to make everyone happy. And by just responding, you've alerted the world to the fact that you are now its punching bag.
Sigh.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, Gayball is a jerk, obviously. No, he's a great. Gabe is the best.
Gabe, you jerk.
You.
Ignorance. How dare you?
No, he's excellent. And I just, you know, I feel bad because obviously I criticize the process a lot, but it's not like Gabe. It's not Gabe, you know, Gabe, you're a jerk. Gabe, you suck, you know. It's not the point. It's.
And, you know, let's get some context here.
Yes.
Let's compare to the process under the old administration.
Yes,
it's a lot better than it was. Is that what you're trying to say?
Remember that meeting room in the first Star Wars movie where he raised his hand and the guy started choking to death? That was the previous. That's how it works. Yeah. Hey, I don't like these icons.
I find your faith.
Anyone else don't like the icons?
That's if you were acknowledged at all.
Yeah.
Because, like, just ignoring
That would have been the internal reaction.
Pretty popular.
Somebody in the chat room says they need there's a new plus pack for Windows 10. They're going to call it the Whiner Pack.
Yeah.
And everything you don't like about Windows 10.
It will just make it look like Windows 7.
Yeah. That's what they want. We many of us actually would be happy.
I don't know. XP is where it's at.
Yeah. Maybe choose your OS.
What is a sensor core based?
Who cares, Leo? This doesn't even matter anymore. This is so minor. So minor today. Actually, here, let me tell you this.
Oh, sorry.
This is available in your 635, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a motion data settings app. And in old versions of the OS, or in old versions of the settings app, I guess, it would just be on or off. And if you put it on, you could use apps like Microsoft Health and Fitness that would let your phone work like a fitness device. It would track your movement.
Yep.
And it would report that data to the app, and then the app could do what, you know, like what fitness apps do with that data. In the new version of it, it actually supplies a lot more information. In fact, you can go right to the app itself, and you can see where you've been over time, and it gives you graphs of the data and so forth. And it provides a lot more information to those apps. So it's a more powerful system than they used to have. In fact, I meant to check this since I went to Colorado, because I had this thing on the whole time I was away.
Has it noticed that you moved?
That's what I'm wondering, yeah. I meant to look. It'll just take me 20 minutes. Don't worry about it.
Well, you know what? While you're looking, no, I got something. Let's take a break.
Okay.
When in doubt, do an ad.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, you're talking about something else, I'm sure.
No, it does a map. It gives you a map, and so you can actually see where I traveled in the map.
Oh, wow. Neat.
That's pretty neat.
It looks like the Bermuda Triangle. It's odd. I'm sure that's
all good in Area 51. Yeah. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. If you're in the position of having to hire, maybe you're a single owner and you need some help, or maybe you've got a big business and you're the person responsible. ZipRecruiter.com is the place to go, because instead of going to just a single job board and hoping that that's hitting the right people, you're hitting them all, 50 plus job boards. With one click of the mouse, and social sites too, like Facebook and Twitter. I think this is amazing. And they do more than just post it to 50 plus job boards. They also have an interface
all of the applications run into the interface, so you don't have to worry about a lot of phone calls or emails to you. You simply sign into ZipRecruiter's interface, screen your candidates, pick the right one, hire the right person instantly. It's so great. And with ZipRecruiter's premium traffic boost, you're going to get three times as many candidates, up to three times the number of candidates, which is even better. This is the way to hire. This is the modern way to hire. Quickly screen applicants, rate them, hire the right person fast. There's a lot of nice features. I want you to visit ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Take a look at all the things ZipRecruiter can do for you, and then take advantage of it with a free 4-day trial and 30% off your first traffic boost. Look at all the companies that use ZipRecruiter. More than 200,000 businesses, including our own. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Try it for free and get 30% off your first traffic boost at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. What a great solution. Kind of a meta job site. Paul Thurrott is here from Thurrott.com and Peter Bright from Ars Technica. What do you got there?
Let's see this. This is like the – I drove my dad to the airport today. So the thing is I actually took a different route home than I went in. And this is very rough, but it sort of approximates the way that I went in and out of the city. And this is like it tracked my – so if I was walking, this would have been like the most active day of my life, but I was in a car.
That's very cool.
So, it was still pretty active, but –
Yeah, for me, that was that. Right. The leaving the house actually is a major.
You got out, for me, so that's good.
Yeah,
actually, Google Dashboard. Google does this. If you let it, it'll track everywhere you've been ever. And you can, and it's fun because you can run kind of a fast forward through the day and show yourself going all over the place. And that's an Android thing. Now you can do it with your Windows phone. All right. What else? Convergence. Let's talk Office.
Wow, how can I shift gears like this? So what happened at Convert? It was all Office stuff, right? So Office 2016 preview. So a public preview of that, sort of like they did on the Mac, just a lot buggier. Did you ever get that installed, Peter? You did,
yeah,
right?
I had to blow away my MSI Office 2013 and switch to a click to run.
I was only able to get back to Office 2013 after having all kinds of problems and knowing that a build would happen eventually. I decided just to wait for Windows 10. I'm going to blow the whole thing away tonight and just do it then. But I still never installed it on a PC. Like, I got it in a VM.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's Office, you know?
Yeah, it's right, exactly. It's exactly the same, except it's colorful if you want it to be.
Do you use Office? I use Outlook.
I use Word.
Do you and use OneNote. Word?
Yeah. Oh, wow. What do you write in? Do you just write in the...
I write in a thing called Markdown Pad, which lets me write Markdown. I think we've had this
discussion. Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Right in the middle of that, you glitched. You write in something called Markdown.
I use a thing called Markdown Pad, so I can use the Markdown language. So it's...
I love Markdown.
Nicer than HTML. Yeah.
Not only Macintosh people use that, though.
No.
Markdown pad?
Yeah. www.markdownpad.com. Triple dub. Did I say that?
You did say triple dub.
What a joke.
What a throwback to 1995.
Yeah.
This obviously has elements for software development and so forth, but do you write text? Does it do spell checking or anything like that?
It does spell checking, yeah.
Okay.
So,
but what's nice, you get a preview pane as well as a entry pane.
Yeah, and it's nicer than HTML syntax for most things.
So, Markdown for
if you need to use HTML, like occasionally I have to do like tables and things, I can still just plop down HTML directly in there.
But when you put text,
go ahead. Sorry.
I'm just curious because ultimately for all of us, you know, the text that we write needs to end up on the web, right? So do you paste from this into a web form for whatever CMS you're using, or do you actually write directly into that?
We use WordPress.
Yeah, WordPress will support Markdown. You might have to get a plugin for it.
We don't have a plugin. All the plugins I've found for Markdown in WordPress are actually pretty awful.
Okay.
But, you know, it like if you do like, so select the text I want, if I do Control C, that just copies it as is. But if I do Control Shift C, that copies the generated HTML, and I can just dump that straight into WordPress.
Okay. And if you,
unlike what Word gives me, it's really clean, simple HTML.
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering. I mean, to me, it's sort of a process, and the important part of the process is that last part. And for whatever reason, like pasting from Word into WordPress works for me, but
yeah, I think WordPress has features to like handle
handle Word,
but HTML and make it less.
Because it seems to work. Like, for example, if you use Office Online, like the web-based version of Word, mm-hmm. or OpenOffice, or you know Google Docs or whatever, and do the same thing, what gets pasted in looks different.
Yeah,
like it seems like you have to have Word, which is why I'm kind of worried about.
So the HTML it produces is really basic. So it's like bold and italics and headers and that kind of thing.
Real men use TROF, but it's okay if you want to.
Well, no, but I'm sure this works great for you.
It's fine. Yeah. Fine if that's what you need, I guess.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm sure, you get your pinky out in a teacup or whatever, and you can type with one hand, but...
You know, we do tables and stuff, but I can just dump an HTML table in there, and I can get the right CSS on there and all that kind of thing.
Markdown actually is very cool. It does tables, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not as fully as you'd like to...
Yeah, it's them. I don't like the
tables. Now I'm curious about this.
What, are you now installing this...
I've already
Markdown pad.
Oh, I'm writing in it.
It's a good app.
It'd be really great if it had like post to WordPress button.
Yeah. Well, that's.
It'd be like Live Writer kind of.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I worry about things like spacing and, you know, paragraph spacing. And I'm even going from Word to on the PC to Word on the Mac.
Yeah.
There are actually formatting issues.
Yeah. Well, that's why LaTeX was invented.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm not. What's that guy? You know, the author in the beginning was the command line. What's the hell's his name?
Jesus? I don't know. God?
Oh, no.
Moses? I don't know. What are you talking about, Donald?
Screw you guys. He's
Donald
a famous
Canoes?
Fiction.
Who are you talking about?
Hold
who
on,
are you I'll talking about?
I got hold on.
Who are you? What are you talking? In the beginning,
Cryptonomicon. Neil Stephenson.
Neil Stephenson. Yeah.
So Neil Stephenson used to write everything with like tech and some Unix text.
If once you learn it, you know it becomes part of you. But it's just the pain in the butt to learn it.
Yeah.
Right.
But the reason people did it is in the old days you had to. You really had no control over formatting. I think WYSIWYG formatting for the most part works. Maybe there are little issues here and there going back and forth from Windows to Mac or something. But Markdown is far from WYSIWYG text editing. It's not LaTeX
either. That's fine. I mean, I kind of like the simplicity of it.
I love Markdown. I've used it for years.
And like the side-by-side view gives me enough. Like, I mean, I could probably do something really fancy and like maybe do like CSS so that it looks like our site.
Dr. Pizza, you should have saved this for your pick of the week, by the way. I'm just pointing out. I'm just saying.
I've already done it as a pick of the week, actually. I think last time it was on, I did it as pick of the week.
Oh, well, there you go. That's where I've heard of it.
Yeah.
All right. I'll look at this. This is interesting.
Anything else about Office? Skype for Business client launches in preview form.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you
no,
go
I was
ahead.
Just going to say.
Yeah, no, after you, Alphonse.
Well, I was going to say they're actually doing they're doing the thing. I'm kind of surprised it took this long. Office 365 will have PSTN connectivity
in preview form
from later this year.
Yeah, yep.
And that's part of the Skype integration.
Yeah, if you look over the feature
that was
set,
one thing that made sense when they bought Skype, like doing that as
so it requires the on-prem server today. Starting this summer sometime, I guess in the US only, there'll be a preview. You can get it on Office 365. And this will be the beginning of the end for on-prem telephony systems, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's actually nice, but like I don't care. I mean, it's really awesome.
It will arrive just in time for that not to, it will not matter when it's done. Yeah.
But
yep.
you know.
Yeah. We don't have time to explain what Office Delve is because it's basically, you know, time of the machine stuff, and it's really complicated.
Let's talk about, in that case, something very simple, something personal, something yes. you hold near and dear to your heart. We're talking the Microsoft Band.
Yeah, so suddenly they're in the news a lot, and this week they are more broadly available. You can get it at Amazon, Best Buy, and Target here in the U.S.
Oh, good.
And I think starting next month, if I'm not mistaken, available in the U.K. as well, various or maybe just Microsoft Store.
So it'll be available. It's to pre-order right now in the U.K. on the Microsoft Store, and it'll also be available in retailers. So it'll be in O2 and Harrods, and then if you're a real, if you really hate yourself and you're a real glutton for punishment,
yep.
you'll be able to go to the Dixons Group stores. So the Currys PC World and the Dixons Travel. I really recommend that you don't, because they're the most horrific stores known to man. Americans don't know how lucky you are with Best Buy.
It's worse Best than Best Buy. It's worse.
Oh my! A million times worse. Best Buy is heavenly. Compared really? To the Dixon's Group stores.
Wow.
The PC World, Currys, they rebranded, but it's the same. I can't even say the word because we're not allowed to say the word.
Crud.
Because this is safe for work. They're like where you go when you die. I mean, and you've been bad, and it's like, this is...
Purgatory's waiting room.
Wow. Yeah. They're the worst stores ever created.
Hmm.
But yeah, you'll be able to buy Microsoft Band there, so that'll be nice.
Well, you're slowly slitting your wrists in line.
Yeah. Don't go to Amazon on the web.
But you can. Yeah.
But if you really, if you're just insane. Hmm. Yeah. Not a fan.
is it done kind of? It probably is done kind of similarly to the. Amazon's, who is it's doing stores? Google's doing, Google did a store. Apple used to do stores in Best Buy where they basically pay for the space.
Mm-hmm. The store within a store thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Google's doing a store within a store in the Currys in London. I remember reading that.
I mean, it might
also
be.
Go in there and buy a little bit of cloud.
Yeah, that's like saying, hey, you got a really nice cesspit. We'd like to set up our store.
It's a moat.
I noticed there's a mammoth slowly dying in that oil pool over there.
And did you do the Microsoft Band field guide? Did you do that, Paul?
I did. Yep.
Nice. In your spare time in between books?
Yep.
Where can we find that?
Fieldguidebooks.com.
So this is really going to become your brand here. I like that. I really like the name, Field Guide.
I need to fix the web. The website's still the old, the Windows 8.1 website. Right. But
if I look around, will I find
the... It's right there. It's the top.
It is right there. Free. It's in PDF, Mobi or EPUB.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. How long is it? Let's find out.
It's not that long. It's like 75.
Contact Paul or Raphael.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-dum.
Yep.
Do I have to contact him?
Please do not steal my book. That's nice.
I'm sorry, Peter. What do you need from Raphael?
Wow, nothing. That's like that's
nothing.
Like nothing. Like it says contact nothing. For Raphael. It's like I don't want.
So this is the kind of like the manual should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neat. So you still recommend it?
I use it. I mean, it's a lot of untapped potential. I mean, I think the big thing I'd say about Microsoft Band is it is a data collecting monster. It does so much data collection, and there just isn't a lot in the way of proactive stuff. You know, it's been an hour, you need to get up for a minute, or it's been 5 hours, you haven't exercised at all today, why don't you go for a walk? You know, it doesn't do that stuff. It has the capability, and I think it will get there, but it has some awesome exercise stuff, vertical activity things, for running and for cycling and all that kind of stuff. A lot of stuff going on there, but it's only going to get better. And it's, by the standards of these kinds of devices, it's a lot more powerful than devices that cost the same, and it's a lot less expensive than devices that kind of approach its functionality.
So what I will say, it blows me away for a version 1 Microsoft product. And apparently, you know, apparently the sort of development cycle was kind of reasonable. But it's a really solid, competitively priced, capable device if you care about fitness bands, which I obviously don't.
And it works with everything, by the way. That's the other thing. It works with every device.
Yeah. Like, but for version one, it's really encouraging.
Yeah, neat. And Paul calls this another installment in our ongoing. Microsoft. Oh, you. Cortana's coming to iOS and Android.
Reportedly.
Actually, and Peter Bright's the one who reported this. I like him. He writes for Ars Technica.
I was going to say, you know, Microsoft. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because Google's on all platforms too. Well, not, no, sorry. It's on Android and iOS. And I do think the effects, this folks who did Siri, I think are doing a new Siri for iOS. So there's a lot of ways to do this. Nuance is speech capability, you know, so everybody and their brother's trying to do this. It's the thing is when it's built into the OS, that's the one you're going to use because it's just kind of.
Right.
You know,
what are we talking about?
I mean, like on Android, the hooks are probably there that like Cortana on Android could be just as kind of capable.
I bet.
But I bet they're not on iOS.
Oh, absolutely like, not. For Google now, you have to actually launch the Google app, and then you can use it.
Yeah, you know. So I just don't see what the win is here. What's the upside?
Right.
I think that confused stutter step there is exactly the response everyone has to this and this kind of thing, not just this, but you know, it's like really.
Let me propose a thought. People will try it and go, "Hey, this is really a different, which it is, and better experience."
So what?
So maybe I'll get a Windows phone.
So what?
Better experience, but I've got it on my iPhone. I've got it on my Android phone. Right. So hey, I'm happy.
This is. We understand why Nokia puts Hear Maps on Android, right? We get it. Right. We know why. Because there's so many of those phones. Everyone on the phone is going to use Google Maps, every single one of them, right? So people may download it. They may try it. They may even like it. But they're going to use Google.
Right.
They just are. You know, it's not a reflection on Hear Maps, which has its pros and cons. Offline maps, for example, which is a neat feature. Which Google will eventually really have, and then it will just be over. I don't know. Like, I just, you know.
Google's doing something interesting. They have an API. I don't know what Cortana does, but Google's putting out an API now for third-party apps to integrate into the Now cards, and presumably that'll add to the speech.
So you can have your, you know, tap on
any
and go
app.
There kind of stuff.
You know, I could have a Twit app that would actually put up a Google Now card that says, you know, Windows Weekly is about to start. Which we
The box is so important, you know. Yeah. And it's not just in the box on Google. I mean, you use Google Maps on your PC or whatever you have, and you sign in with your Google account, and your maps are all there, and your directions are all there. It just kind of works, and that's how people do things. Yeah. And I did, you know, Cortana is great. There's no issue I'm pointing at with it. It's just I don't think it. You know, they're going to see Microsoft, and they're going to, you know, most people aren't going to bother. Why would they?
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is, even if they do, they'll be using a free service. Yes, you can get Cortana to do a Bing web search, and yes, that will show you like ads and monetized results.
Yeah.
But all the good stuff of Cortana, like, you know, the stuff like showing you sports scores or telling you, hey, it's time to leave for the airport or your plane is late or, you know, all of that side of things is free. But, you know, there's no ads that show. There's no, you know, Cortana sent a reminder for such and such. That's not monetized in any way. So even if people really get into it and really use it a lot.
What's the point?
What are they getting? Yeah, they're getting more.
Well, it's like
data.
We're losing money every time we sell a Windows phone. I mean, what happens if we do sell more of these things?
Lose more money.
Is that really a
win? All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to do your top of the heap, the back of the book. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere segment coming up in just a little bit. But first, a word from HipChat, our wonderful sponsors. HipChat is a great solution for the teams in your life if you're a programmer, if you're a development team. We use it in our engineering department. We use it for sales. It's it looks a little bit like Instant Messenger. It is a kind of a chat app, but it's a lot more. It's team chat that's built for business. That means it's video chat, it's document sharing, it's screen sharing, code sharing, all in a simple, easy to use, fun platform. Email is not the right way to run a team, that's for sure. Meetings, don't get me started. And regular Instant Messenger isn't designed to integrate into your workflow the way HipChat is. HipChat keeps your team in sync. It works from any device, no matter where you are. And it integrates with 57 services like GitHub and Jira and Zendesk and New Relic. And so, you know, your HipChat becomes suddenly a dashboard to everything that you need to use. It's fantastic. HipChat, it's easy to set up, fun to use, makes your team wildly productive, and it's free. HipChat Freemium is free forever, but we've got the full version of HipChat just for you right now for the next 30 days. You don't have to give a credit card or anything. Just try it for free at hipchat.com/windowsweekly. Very important to note, unlike your email solution, unlike almost any other solution, it's 100% secure. It's locked down. You can even run your own server if you want total security. This is a good solution, and I want you to try it. No credit card needed at hipchat.com/windowsweekly. 30 days free, although for the first 100 people that respond right now, we'll get you 90 days, 3 months free. That is nice. You know what? My HipChat's running on every computer all the time. It's just automatic. And every smartphone, every mobile device, it's the way my team has a question for me. I can answer them fast. It really works well. HipChat.com/windowsweekly. Try it free for 90 days right now. Peter Bright, Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com, ArsTechnica.com, Dr. Pizza at Thurrott. Time for the back of the book. People have already started playing with 10,041, the new build of Windows 10.
Yep.
Somebody's saying the Defender icon is on the taskbar now.
Stop the press.
It's the updates pretty are flowing in.
Oh, my.
Old apps are disappearing. New ones are being added.
In here?
The icons are thinner yet.
I do say.
I say, sir. I say.
I have the vapors.
Where is my fainting couch? Do you have, Paul Thurrott, a pick of any kind? Any kind at all?
I do. Okay. So my tip of the week is actually, you may recall some time ago, months ago, I recommended that people put a music drive in their OneDrive and start copying music into it. Because at the very least, you could sync that music from PC to PC if you wanted to. But that Microsoft was planning to update Xbox Music to support that. And that support happened today. So if you're like me, and you had done this months ago, that music is just available now for free in Xbox Music.
Oh, that's nice.
It doesn't require an Xbox Music Pass. Oh, you can stream it over the web. You can download it to your devices from anywhere. It's yeah. So if you haven't done it, Microsoft has added a music folder to your Xbox, to your OneDrive, and so you can do it that way. And so I wrote that up. That just happened today, so that's kind of a neat thing. And then the software pick is OneNote Clipper, which is something I have recommended in the past. I think it's a bookmarklet. Is that the right term on IE? But on Chrome, it's a full blown add-in, and it's a little more powerful on Chrome. But they've thoroughly updated it. Beautiful new UI. You can choose per clip where the clip, you know, the web clipping goes. Using a location clipper, but it also has kind of a neat capability to natively support articles, recipes, and products, and so. If you're looking at an article and you clip it and you say this is an article, it will just clip the, you know, the text and the graphics. It won't get any of the ads and the surrounding baloney. And so it's just become a lot more powerful. It's a really neat way from the web to clip stuff or copy and paste it basically from the web into your OneNote notebooks. So this is just an awesome add-in that's gotten a lot better.
You're all OneNote all the time, I think.
That's me.
Mr. OneNote.
Yeah, OneNote and Word in my office. Yeah. I always spend a lot of my day.
Peter Bright, did you bring along anything to share with the class?
I was going to do a comedy beer option.
A comedy beer option. Yeah. Okay. Okay. There, you know, that's there's always room for beer.
There's always the beer of the week, and I was gonna do a good. So I've been drinking a lot of tea recently. from a company called, I think it's Adagio.com.
Oh, I love Adagio tea. Yes.
Yeah, they deliver the tea, and they have this Earl Grey Bravo, I think it's called.
Oh, and see, I don't like the bergamot. I can do without the bergamot.
Oh, it's orgasmic, Leo.
What is it about bergamot? I don't understand.
I don't know. I think it just it's great. And a few weeks ago, we got a Mr. Coffee iced tea maker. And
that sounds like a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, I know. It's doesn't make coffee, strangely. And I make this Earl Grey iced tea, and it's just delicious. That's my recommendation.
Excuse me.
Paul, you like the Earl Grey?
No, I drink green tea, and I also drink, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but like rooibos tea.
It's like rooibos. Like yeah, rooibos. It's a red. It's not even a tea. It's a red tree.
Yeah, it's not even tea.
A tree bark or something.
Yeah,
it's good.
That is the exact thing we have. Yes.
Mr. Coffee Iced Tea Maker. Wait a minute. Tell me, how could this work? You put water in it, heats it up.
Put water in it, it heats it up,
yeah.
And then pours it over ice.
And where's the tea? Where does the tea live?
So you see the bit in the top?
Yeah.
The bit that it sort of swivels around, you put tea in there. You see, look,
it's got a basket like the Mr. Coffee for coffee.
Right.
But is that enough time to steep?
Yeah, it trickles the water through quite slowly.
Okay. So it's getting its 4 minutes of 200 degree water steeping.
Yeah. It's good.
And it really is good.
Steeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just very convenient because you fill it up with water, press the button.
And you want to recommend Adagio Tea's Earl Grey? This is Mary Jo. Come back fast.
Well, I have a beer. I do have a beer.
This guy is recommending tea.
Earl Grey Bravo.
He is British. It's not his fault.
It's black. The third one alone.
I like Irish breakfast tea. I like a good dark.
Is it good and strong?
Yeah, Earl Grey Bravo. See. Looks like it has little pieces of potato chips in it. What is that?
It's orange peel.
Ah. Oh, see, that would be all right. That would be all right.
Please be that.
Yeah. Orange peel and then what is the blue thing?
I guess I don't know.
That was maybe just a lilac thrown in there.
Yeah, it is. But it's really tasty.
The good thing about Adagio, they do have steeping instructions. Steep at 212, but boiling for 2 to 3 minutes.
And you can also get like small, really small sort of portions, sample portions for $2. And buy a bunch of different flavors.
Try them. Yeah, I recommend it. Yeah. You know, maybe I'll give Earl Grey another try, because all I've had is like the crappy Twinings.
I haven't tried their other Earl Greys, I have to say. They've got
the lavender Earl Grey sounds interesting.
Yes. I may have to try them.
We're trying to drive Paul off.
So anyway.
Tea is good. I should drink more. I feel I should drink more tea and less coffee. You can't really do both, because coffee will ruin your palate for tea.
Yeah.
You'll say, what is this weak brown water? Do you have anything stronger?
Well, you know what?
It drives me up the wall. You go to a restaurant and you ask for iced tea, and they give you, it's got so much damn ice in it.
Yeah.
It's just watered down and has no real taste. I like my tea to pack a punch.
Me too.
Yeah.
So the Mr. Coffee iced tea maker
does
that.
That's so American, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have something even worse in Houston. You probably get it. Sweet tea.
Yeah, that is the default.
That'll put your teeth.
It's great if you want diabetes.
Yeah,
you just need a couple of glasses and boom. Like take that pancreas.
I don't
suck
need
it,
you insulin
pancreas.
Suck it. Adagio tea is very good. Highly recommended. I think they're great. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Good.
Mr. Paul Thorat, you're done. So I guess what we should do is beer.
because I have this
flavor.
Yeah,
just quickly, you know, I was in Bergamo. Fort Collins, Boulder area last week.
Yes.
Which is the beer capital of the world. Sorry, Belgium. And there are an amazing range of breweries there. I didn't go anyplace new. I just went to my favorites, you know, Avery, New Belgium, primarily. New Belgium has a series of beers called the Lips of Faith.
What?
And they're sour. They're all sours, basically.
The Lips of Faith.
Yeah. So we did a Lips of Faith flight, which was like 9 different beers. And most of which I hadn't had before. They changed, you know, from time to time. And there were some crazy ones. There was one called Mole, where it was like a chili beer, which sounds like it'd be terrible, but it was awesome. If you're ever in a place where you can get any Lips of Faith beer, which probably means primarily out west somewhere, definitely check this stuff out. And if you live in Colorado, God bless you. You live heaven on earth.
What characterizes the Lips of Faith beer?
They're sours.
They're sours. Okay.
Yeah. But they really span a range. I mean, there's some of them that are sort of like basically Hefeweizens. There are some that are, you know, dark stoutish kind of beers. I mean, they really, this is kind of their chance to go a little crazy, I think is what they're doing.
Far out.
Yeah.
You know, really I made, because yesterday was St. Patrick's Day in the United States, and I made a corned beef and cabbage, of course.
Of course.
Of course. And I did it in the slow cooker. So I started in the morning yesterday. And I decided to put beer in it, cook it in beer instead of water, which makes it quite tasty. But I might have overdid it because I got a fancy Belgian triple. And I cooked it in that.
Really? And, you cooked a triple?
I kind of a waste of a triple, like a 750 milliliter bottle of a triple.
Yeah.
But it was good. And then today I had corned beef hash from it. That was really good. But I bought Lisa, I said, get me a Belgian triple. She bought 2. So I have some Goldendrock, undrunk Goldendrock. So come over and we'll have a little triple
nice.
Party. Yeah.
I will.
Yes. Yum, yum, yum. Did not turn out mushy. Thank you very much. Dr. Mom said, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. Hey, we do Windows Weekly every Wednesday. It's kind of the fun day, hump day. Show at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and a word of warning to those of you in countries where you have not entered summertime or save daylight time or your time hasn't changed. We did. And so we are at 1800 UTC, so you'll have to do your math. We moved, in other words.
Daily savings time is the best, isn't it? You know, because everything was just going great, so let's screw up the schedule.
Oh, and
everybody's
tired.
You know, we could see the sun in the morning instead of it being pitch
every
black.
Year, several people die because of it. It's terrible.
I love daylight savings.
Yeah, but stay in it.
Right, yeah. People die from
that's
going
what I mean.
Back.
I mean the switch over.
It's the change that makes you crazy. Just stay, pick one and keep it.
I was actually on the, flying back from Barcelona, so I didn't even know.
Oh, you were screwed up anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
that's an ideal time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like imposing jet lag on an entire nation that has
yeah, exactly.
Without right. the travel.
Jet lag without the benefit of the photos you took on your vacation. Yeah.
Mr. Dr. Pizza, thank you for being here.
The pleasure as always.
Is there a Dr. Pizza iced tea maker? That would be good.
No. That would be good.
At Dr. Pizza on the Twitter, you find him on Ars Technica as one of the great. You know, if I had to pick one online publication besides Therot.com that I read just and I really feel is so trustworthy and it's Ars Technica with Dan Gooden. You got a great team over there.
We do.
Please say hi to them and say if you ever wish to work more with Twit, we would love to do that. I just think it's the quality. Yeah.
I'm always here.
Platform. Yeah. Well, good. Dr. Pete will be back.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. P. Oh, no, that's bad.
Wow.
Sounds like thanks, you're Leah. A urologist. I'm sorry.
Dr. Urine. We'll inspect your wiener now.
No,
right
thank
now.
You.
Great. That is not what I wanted.
Dr. P and Mr. T, it's been a great show. Mr. Therot is at Therot.com. That's his new home on the net. Please go there. Two U's, a T. An R and an O. Three T. Wait a minute. T-H-U-R-R-O-T-T. Three T's, two R's, a U and an O. That's how you spell it.
And remember, the U, I like to use the number 4 instead of the letter A. Just.
Thank you, gentlemen. And we'll see y'all next time on Windows Weekly.